Our New Testament reading this morning is from the first gospel written, the Gospel of Mark. And very early in the gospel, there's this important story in which Jesus is launched into his ministry, in which he gives us the theme, the power that drives him all his life. So this follows the introduction of John the Baptizer, who is in the wilderness, and Jesus in those days came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn about and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, the time is up, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent, turn around, and believe in the good news." This is the word of the Lord. Mark puts a lot of stuff in this pulpit. Empty water glass, it must have been a very dry... No. It's good to be with you, and I appreciate Mark's invitation. There are a lot of things that people in the congregation really don't know that goes on in pastoral ministry. Most of them, it's just as well they don't. But beginning with the first week in Lent, beginning with Ash Wednesday, and then the Sunday, first Sunday in Lent, and then Holy Week and Easter, all that is required of a pastor, in addition to the things that usually go on, just is so overwhelming, really. It really is, you know, we think of Christmas as being the busy season. I think Lent and Easter are really the busy season for the pastor. And we love it, we enjoy it, but it's good that we can sort of share. Thank you, Mark. Every successful football or basketball coach knows when to call a timeout. It may be a timeout to get the place kicker in, field goal, or a timeout for the basketball coach. The game is seconds from ending, and they need to strategize how the ball is going to be inbounded, who's going to get it, who's going to get the pass, who's going to make an attempt to score the basket that will keep them from going into overtime. A timeout at the right time is absolutely essential if the game is to be won. Parents know the value of a timeout for frustrated and angry children who lose control of themselves. They need to break the cycle of frustration gripping them Their tantrum needs to be interrupted so they can think about a better way forward. Adults also need timeouts, a time to stop arguing, fighting in some cases, time out to get a longer perspective, to focus on what is really important and what is really trivial. And better relationships bloom after timeouts. Sometimes timeouts are necessitated by the changing circumstances of life, deteriorating health, loss of a job, a friend who walks away. Other times, in anticipation of the future, we choose a timeout to better prepare. Life is moving in a new direction and we're not sure of ourselves anymore. We need time to ponder, to think things through. We read from Genesis this morning the climax of the story of Noah. The rain has ended, the land is drying, the dove comes back with a green twig, sign of earth coming to life again, a second chance, and hope seizes Noah's heart. Is it too much of a stretch to think of Noah's 40 days on the ark as a timeout? The earth had become polluted with the rapacious violence of human evil. The cycle had to be broken. A timeout was needed and instituted. And it gave Noah space to think about what had been and what might be, about his creator and redeemer. At the end, a new beginning was realized as the animals were sent out of the ark on dry land. Our reading from the Gospel of Mark tells of Jesus driven to take a time out in the desert for 40 days. Do you see a pattern here? 40, 40, 40. Mark's telling is spare, no unnecessary words. Jesus had been baptized and blessed by God, and now the Spirit pushed him into a deserted place, away from the familiar, to think about his way forward. And Jesus returns from that time with a proclamation and invitation that will change everyone and everything that comes after. When he said, "Now, right now, not when you get out of worship, not when you go to lunch, not when you go to bed, right now is God's time." And Jesus preached that all his life. God's kingdom is here. Change your life. Trust this good news. These two stories trumpet new beginnings growing out of strategic timeouts. And today, in our lives, we need some timeouts before we can move forward to new possibilities. Our hearts yearn for new beginnings. Frustrated, uncertain, broken, hurting, we search for a better way. But instead of pushing forward too hard, too soon, too fast, we'll make better progress if we take a strategic timeout. I think that's why these weeks of Lent, 40 days, excluding Sundays, have been given to us by the church. To step back, to try to gain some perspective on the long road ahead, to find some healing, new balance, and purpose in our life. Let me get you started thinking what your personal Lenten timeout might include. First, a productive timeout begins with facing honestly what's bugging us. What is causing our pain and frustration? One woman speaks of her worst enemies dwelling in the cave of her own heart. Have you thought that could be possible? Have you not had that experience sometimes in thrashing about with an unhappy confrontation? I've come to see that the problem's in me. I know that's hard to believe, but it is true, sometimes at least. When I was a pastor in Tucson, one night we had some conflict in our administrative board meeting, and I almost lost my temper. Folks could see my temperature rising, and I may have even cooled off by walking home before the meeting ended. As I thought about it in the days after, with the help of a caring lay member of our congregation, I came to see that the difficulty was in me. The poet Rilke once wrote, "Perhaps all the dragons in our lives are princesses who are only waiting to see us act just once with beauty and courage." In its deepest essence, something helpless that once, perhaps everything that frightens us is, in its deepest essence, something helpless that wants our love. Now chew on that for 40 days and see what you discover. For me, the time out of Lent is an opportunity to focus on some of the prayers of God's people. There are spaces in my life where I cannot pray my own prayers. I have to grab a book and read the prayers that the church has given me to learn again. The Sunday before Christmas, I was worshiping in San Dieguito United Methodist Church in Encinitas. And I never failed to find in that congregation, as I do here, music and liturgy which touch me deeply and heal me a little. That Sunday, after the opening hymn of praise, I joined in the prayer of the people, and part of that prayer we used this morning as a prayer of confession. But I want to pray it again as I read it and experienced it that day. Holy and merciful God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. If that doesn't take you back to God, nothing will. Well, that's my parenthetical observation. Lord, have mercy on us. Heal and forgive what our lips tremble to name, and what our hearts can no longer bear. Set us free from a past we cannot change. Open us to a future in which we can be changed. And grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. I didn't need to listen to the sermon that day. I had already been brought face to face with my Creator and my Savior. The prayers of our fathers and mothers, our sisters and brothers of faith, lead us into and through timeouts that bless us forever. A timeout can change everything if you trust the call of Jesus and live each new day as God's day, filled with mercy and love. As we read from Mark's Gospel this morning, that's Jesus' word to us at the beginning of his ministry in Galilee. Last fall, I read that in the Low Country of South Carolina, and Mark knows the man that told this story, there is an old gula term for early morning. Day clean is the word. As in, child, you've got to go to bed because day clean's coming. The man who used this word, which was certainly unfamiliar to me, went on to interpret. The point is that every day is clean. A blank slate upon which the stories of new mercies, yet undiscovered, might be written. In other words, each and every day, we can be open to the good, the beautiful, the restoring, healing power of God that is everywhere. Time out. It works. It frees us from bondage to the past. It dissipates our anxiety over the future. It opens the door to amazing grace. Amen.